Hey, what's going on, people? People of the free world. This is episode 13 of the Duke of the Right. Today's March 13th, 2020, and tomorrow's my dad's birthday. I don't know why I told you that, but anyway, so probably gonna be a short episode today. I know I've been making them, well, I've been saying that I'm gonna make them kind of short lately. I've been having a lot of shit going on, but I'm still trying to keep up with everything as much as I can. You know, at least put something out there for the few listeners that I got. But like I've said before, consistency is key, no matter what. Whether I put out 30 minutes of content or 2 hours, as long as I put out something that actually has some meaning and I didn't just throw it together just to say I did it, then you know, I feel like I'm doing something right a little bit. What's going on with this fucking coronavirus shit now? People are going insane. They're going mad. I think it's so blown out of proportion. It's not even funny. I went to Walmart last night, and people were frantic. They were literally losing their fucking minds. I went down the toilet paper aisle because conveniently we need toilet paper. The whole aisle was empty, completely 100% empty. And here's a little funny story. So my dad was in the Walmart by my house, right? And apparently, so he was, you know, talking to one of the workers, and because, you know, there was no toilet paper, and he was like, why is everybody panicking? What's going on? You know, what, like, what's the, why is everybody deciding to buy toilet paper? The coronavirus has nothing to do with your digestive system. It's not like if you get it, you'll shit your brains out. That's not what happens. It's an upper respiratory problem. So that nobody really understands. I mean, I guess people are scared that they're going to get cooped up inside the house for days and weeks on end. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, unless they're super informed and ill-informed and they just believe that they're going to be, you know, going to the bathroom. So, he was talking to the woman, and she said, "Oh, it's been crazy over here. Like, you have no idea." And he said, "How so?" And he said, "There's been fight." She, the woman, said, "There's been fights all over the place, nonstop, over this. Over toilet paper." And she said that earlier today, I guess before my dad got there, obviously. So there were these two black women, according to her, these big fat black women. One had a baby, probably no older than 2 years old, in her hands, holding the baby. The other one didn't have a baby in her hand, obviously. And so they both grabbed, they both went to grab the last box of toilet paper. And they both had their hand on it at the same time. And words were exchanged. They started yelling at each other, pushing each other. Now, mind you, this one woman has a fucking baby in her hand. A little baby. And this woman puts the baby down. And they start brawling. the two women start fighting like crazy, rolling on the floor, punching, pulling hair, right in front of the baby, over toilet paper. Now, all right. This is what I don't understand. Now, this doesn't just go for the coronavirus, but for anything. People buy toilet paper during these fucking events, whether it's a blizzard coming up or an epidemic or a flu. They buy toilet paper like if they don't have it, they can't shit. And like if they don't have toilet paper, then they're gonna die somehow. That's what I don't get. Like, if for some reason, God forbid, you don't have toilet paper and you can't leave the house and you have to shit, you're fucked. There's nothing you could do. You're gonna die, and it's gonna be hell. I feel like that's how people think. Like, you don't think that if for some reason you don't have toilet paper and you have to shit, that, like, you don't think that there's some other thing to do, whether it's fucking grab a washcloth, wipe your ass, and throw it out? You know, like, they really act like it's the end of the world. It's fucking toilet paper for your asshole. Use a paper towel. Use a washcloth. Use a fucking leaf. I don't care, and then jump in the shower after. Like, I don't understand. I'm sorry, but I really believe that the media, I mean, I think it's kind of common knowledge now that this is what the media does. They hype things up to the point where people are running around like chickens without heads because it gets ratings. That's number one. It gets ratings. Mass hysteria creates ratings big time. CNN, MSNBC, even Fox. You know, I don't pledge my allegiance to Fox because they're owned by a fucking liberal. Rupert Murdoch is a liberal, but he's a smart liberal because he knows that 99% of the media is left wing. So, okay, well, you know what? There's a whole demographic that doesn't have any media. Let's put it out for right wing. Okay, fine. Now, I like a lot of people that are on Fox. I like Tucker. I like Pete Hegseth. Who else do I like? I like Charles Payne, Varney, Lou Dobbs. What girls do I like? There's a lot of pretty girls on there too. They're smoking. Oh God, I don't remember all the names. You know who I don't like? I don't like Chris Wallace. I think he's a jerk off. I think he's a Trump hater. Neil Cavuto, he doesn't care for Trump. He annoys me, but for some reason I do like him. He has a good sense of humor, but he doesn't like Trump, so I think he's a dick. So I don't like everybody on Fox, but there's a lot of people I do like. Compared to CNN and MSNBC, about 99% of them I can't stand because they all have an agenda behind them. They all lie. For instance, Don Lemming. I think I can't stand that motherfucker. He's a race baiter. That's what he is. Fredo Cuomo. I'd be so embarrassed if I shared that last name. Like, imagine, they literally are a whole family of crooks. And I'm ashamed that I share the same nationality with them. Because they're Italian, I'm Italian. Like, get the fuck out of here. And then you see, what's his name? Chris Cuomo pretend to get tough with the guy who called him Fredo. Like, I'll push you down the stairs. No, you won't. You never been in a fight your whole life. Never once. You ain't pushing anybody down the stairs. You're not tough. You're a dweeb. And you probably got bullied and picked on in school
So when you grew up, you went to the gym so you could look tough. Meanwhile, if I call you a few names, look what happens. You were called a name. And you probably got flashbacks to when you were a little kid getting abused and made fun of. I'm drifting off again. The coronavirus. I gotta stay on topic. My problem is my mind is all over the place 24/7 that I can't, it's hard for me to just stay on one topic. But anyway, the media is creating this outrage. It's creating this hysteria, this madness, for two reasons. One, it gets them ratings big time. I bet they're all their ratings are up a hundred times. But also, they believe that it's going to hurt Trump. You know, this is like one of their last desperate attempts to get rid of him. You know, they prop. They, you know, they lie and they say that Trump is doing a terrible job at trying to contain the virus. He doesn't care about the people. Blah blah blah. Oh, he did this wrong. Oh, he, you know, he's late to the game with the vaccinations and the camps and this and that. It's all lies, you know, but it's all deception because that's they're masters of deception. That's what the media is, masters of deception. So this is like one of their last Hail Mary attempts to fuck him over in the election, which is not going to happen because anybody with half a brain, which is one of my favorite lines, anybody with half a brain could see that President Trump is doing a great job with containing this virus. He went against most of his advisors when he proposed closing the border up. A month ago, was it 2, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, to Mexico? People were saying it's racist, it's xenophobic. You know, Joe Biden said that, and he said, no, I'm doing that. And turns out that possibly saved thousands of lives, you know? So he doesn't get credit for that, as usual, but I think by now he's used to not getting credit. But he's doing a great job. The media is really trying their hardest to make President Trump look bad during this time when there was no better way to handle it than the way he did. You know, he's not out there telling everybody to freak out. He's keeping everybody calm. He said, "It's, you know, it's gonna blow over. Hopefully, it's not gonna get bad. It could." But let's just hope it's not. Everybody just stay calm, wash your hands, you know, try not to go into big crowds, you know, like things like that. That's what we need to hear. We as Americans don't want to hear the president being hysterical, being nervous, like he, because Trump is a real man, and real men do not want people to see him nervous or see him scared because. If a real man, if a big strong man is scared, then that's gonna make a lot of women and children scared. It's the same thing as a dad. My dad never got emotional. He never cried in front of me. He never was scared, never showed that he was scared when I know for a fact there were times when he was scared, whether it was financially or whatever it was. But he made sure that I didn't see that because my father's a real man. You know, and so what do them, what does the media want him to do? They want him to act like a pussy on TV and say, it's gonna be really bad, people. So like just go crazy, stock up on toilet paper and eggs and milk and hide in your room and just cocoon for months because we could all die right now. And it's really scary. Like that's not what he would do, obviously, you know, and I would hope most pres I would hope all presidents would not do that. I would think maybe Obama would because he was a fucking half a fag. But anyway, I'm not buying it. I'm not changing my ways. The only thing I'm doing different is I'm washing my hands more than I already do. You know? I always wash my hands. I always make sure that I'm clean. But I'm doing more. I have these medical grade alcohol wipes that I got from the lab that I work at that medical professionals use. You can't buy these in stores. I have a whole bucket of them in my car. And that's what I use. I wipe my hands down every hour. I wipe my steering wheel down, my mouth. I probably shouldn't do that, but even my phone, my wallet, I keep myself clean. I'm not neurotic, but I'm taking precaution. That's all. I'm not sucking on doorknobs until this is over. It doesn't call for people to lose their shit. There's no reason for it. Look at the death rate of this fucking of this virus. It's very low. All right. Now, like Trump said, it could get worse. This could be an Italy type thing. We don't know. We don't know, but we can't listen. We can't be hysterical and we can't live in fear, but, you know, we should always be vigilant and precautious. That's all. That's all that it should be. People should carry on with their lives. You know, maybe try to avoid being in fucking huge crowds. Maybe don't go to that fucking Yankee game or the Knicks game or whatever you're going to. Well, nobody goes to the Knicks game. They suck. Including Spike Lee, that racist piece of shit. But, you know, just for a little while, stay, you know, try to stay away from that. I mean, it's not going to kill you. That's not really changing your lifestyle. It's, you know, there's no reason to go to the store and drop $400 at, you know, at Costco on toilet paper and, you know, preparing for the apocalypse. It doesn't make sense to me. I was at Costco 2 weeks ago and the lines were so bad that whatever I had in my hands, I put down and I left. There was no way I was waiting on that line. I've never seen Costco like that. I've been to Costco during Christmas time, during any kind of big, busy time. I've never seen it like that in my life. Every single, and there were like, there's like, I feel like there's like 20-something registers. They were all full. Lines were all the way down to the aisles. And this was 2 weeks ago. Costco's out of everything. But what I want to know is that now that those two black women that were fucking brawling over toilet paper, guess what? Another shipment is coming in tomorrow. So you fought for no reason. You're probably scared and you probably traumatized your fucking baby over toilet paper that it's going to get stocked right up tomorrow. The next day, 2 days later, like, how pathetic. It's like, you know, my father brought up a good point, and I agree with this so much. People these days are so bored that they are looking for excitement, and this is excitement to them. They need a reason to be hysterical. They need a reason to be frantic and have some excitement in their life and to rush. Oh, I gotta do this. Oh my god, what are we gonna do? We gotta go to the store, we gotta stock up, because they have nothing to do. We live in a first world country. We are so fucking privileged that we don't have to worry about anything serious. You go to Africa, you go to China, you go to just about any other country in the world, they don't act like this. Because they got bigger and better things to worry about, like feeding their kids the next day. Or fucking having a roof over their heads. Or not getting fucking killed by their fucking, by the militia. Staying alive. We don't have to worry about that. Because we're spoiled. Same thing with global warming and climate change. The rest of the world, they don't give a fuck about this. Because, like I said, they don't got time to worry about this bullshit. It's fake anyway. But we are so bored. We have no meaning in life anymore that we constantly look for it. And even if it takes making something up and pushing a fake narrative. That's why climate change is such a big thing in America and the other first world countries. because we got nothing better to do, because we're bored, and we don't suffer anymore. Suffering in America is nothing compared to the rest of the world. The poorest of the poor in this country is considered very wealthy in 99% of the rest of the country. Our poor is the world's rich. We don't know poverty in this country. And I've said this before. We're the only country in the world that... We're the only country in the world where our poor people are the fattest people. That's not real poverty. Real poverty is literally seeing skin and bones and not eating for days on end, eating dirt, trees, not having potable drinking water, drinking out of fucking mud and bacteria infested fucking, you know, muck and puddles and, you know, swamps. Nobody, not one person in this country has to deal with that. Not one person is truly poor. I work in the Bronx. I work in Harlem a lot. And, you know, those are very poor neighborhoods. Harlem, not so much anymore, but the Bronx is a very poor neighborhood, a very poor borough. Everybody, I mean, majority of them are fat. They're all fat. They all got the nicest Jordans, $300 Jordans. Right? That's not really poor. Not even close. Do you know an African kid, a poor African kid? He's lucky if he even has something that goes on his goes on his feet. And these people cry fucking poor while they're wearing fucking, you know, Jordan 11s, $200 sneakers. You know, I guess I'm slowly transitioning my topics into the sickness of welfare in America. How it creates lazy people. And you can't really blame them. You really can't. You know, yes. A good portion of people on welfare are black. A big portion, especially percentage-wise. And we could all sit here and say, yeah, they're lazy, this and that. And that may be true. But I don't think that they're inherently lazy people. I don't think that that's the way they really are. Black people are not naturally lazy people. They're hardworking. They have morals. They have conservative values in the home. They're big on family. They're big on working hard. But what happened was the left had an agenda, including LBJ. He was really the main guy who decided and came up with this brilliant idea to give them welfare, you know, pretending to be this advocate for civil rights, already knowing what it would do to them. So looking into the future, foreshadowing on what would happen decades later, he knew that by getting welfare, by getting handouts for so long, it doesn't give you character, it doesn't make you a better person, it doesn't necessarily take you out of poverty. But it keeps you at a poverty where you get free food, you get free housing, you get free education, basically. So you got enough to live, and you could live, you know, very, very, very modestly, nothing good, but you could live, and you don't have to work. because, you know, you were oppressed. So what that ended up doing was creating a culture that takes advantage of welfare, that has no drive to get off of welfare, because the mentality is, why would I not take free money? Why would I get off of welfare to get a job and have to break my back? Why would I get rid of the apartment, the rat roach infested apartment that I live in, that's for free, and pay for a clean apartment? Why would I do that? So it completely de-incentivizes being independent. And this has been going on since the 60s. And eventually it started creating that culture where that's just the way it is. And it gets passed down from generation to generation because it's allowed, because the government allows that to happen, because that's what they want. They want more people dependent on the government, because if the people rely on the government to live, then the government could do whatever they want, because the government got these people by the balls. You know? That's why these socialists want everybody to fully depend on the government. That's why they want that, because they want us by the balls so they could do whatever they want. And I feel like I talk about this every episode, and I genuinely apologize. I know that could get boring, and who knows, maybe I'll lose a few followers and shit, but it's really something that I think needs to be addressed way more than it really is. I think it needs to be really looked at. Now, Trump took millions of people off of welfare since he's been president, which is great. I think that's wonderful, and that's a great start, and, you know, hopefully he keeps going. Because while people might say that that's a terrible thing, it's actually the best thing that could ever happen, because it's creating independence, which is the true American dream. The American dream is not to come here and sit on welfare. If you flee a socialist, communist, oppressive government and come here and go on welfare, that's literally the same thing. You're better off just staying there. Why would you do that? You know, so I think it needs to not only be looked at, but there needs to be a voice out there that really just enlightens people that have been on welfare their whole lives and their whole families have been on that, and say, listen, life, there's so much more to life than living in these fucking disgusting projects and, you know, having food stamps and welfare. And there's so much more to America than that. The American dream is still alive, and it's alive and well, and you're missing out. You're missing out on history. You're missing out on the greatest thing to ever hit this earth. I look at these projects in the South Bronx, in Harlem, in Brooklyn, even on Staten Island in some places, in Queens, and I get sick. I feel bad. I feel bad for these people, because they are really missing out. They're not living life. That's not living. Living in a little fucking gross apartment where there's a killing every night, a shooting every night. You gotta worry about getting fucking robbed and killed. Don't you look at other fucking places in the city and say, man, you know, I really wish that I could get out of these fucking slums and be independent. Don't you get, like, a little envious of that? Because a little envy is good. It gives you drive. Not real jealousy, but a little bit of envy. Be like, oh, man, I'm just so tired of living like this. I what could I do to get off of this shit so I could live like that? But that doesn't, I mean, and it does happen. Don't get me wrong. Look at Ben Carson. Ben Carson grew up in the projects, dirt poor, didn't have a dad, because that's a big thing. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for his mom being such a good mom and instilling in him that work ethic is everything and you could get out of this, we're not predestined to be here. That's why he became who he is. But unfortunately, a lot of these young black men and girls, they don't have that backbone. They don't have the mom that tells them, don't get comfortable here. This is not the way that you want to live. You want to get the fuck out of here. You want to make something of yourself. You don't want to be a leech on the government. You want to be your own person. You don't want to rely on anybody but yourself. Because that's true freedom. True freedom is relying on yourself and being responsible for yourself and providing for yourself and your family and not opening your hand to the government. And I think it's really important that this, you know, this should really be a conversation. This should not keep going. It really shouldn't. It's really sad. I look, you know, my grandfather, who at 17 years old went to, you know, got enlisted with the Marines, fought in World War II in one of the most bloodiest battles in history in Okinawa. He got sick on the island of Okinawa, had to be sent to a camp to get better, went back, they won the war, he came home, and I think, what, a year or two later, he became a cop in the city. Very accomplished young guy. He grew up in the Marlboro Projects in Brooklyn. So he came from nothing. Now, the projects were a very, very, very different place 70 years ago, 80 years ago. They were brand new. They weren't rat infested yet. Maybe they were, but they were brand new houses. And they weren't crime ridden. They were for people, they were a lot for immigrants that just came to America that really can't afford to buy a house or rent. And they would live there for a short time until they got on their feet. And they left. Very, very rarely do you ever run into somebody who has lived in the projects their whole life. I'm talking about people, you know, from 70, 80 years ago. Because, and this might sound a little edgy, but I guess Europeans, Italians, they had shame. They didn't want to live in the projects. They were embarrassed by it. And you know what? I'd be embarrassed too. I'd be fucking embarrassed. And embarrassment sometimes, shame sometimes is a good thing. It's a good thing. Because it makes you get the fuck out of where you are. Being content. Being satisfied. Settling is what gets you nowhere. You gotta want to get the fuck out. You gotta want to be a little embarrassed of where you are if you're living in the projects. I'm not saying you should be fucking depressed and want to kill yourself. Obviously not. But you should want to get out of there, you know? And Italian people, I guess, are big on that. Maybe they're vain. I don't know. But they wanted to get out. My grandfather did. He fucking went to the military, became a true American hero, became a cop. And this poor guy, after he had three sons, including my father, he drops dead at the age of 32 years old from a heart attack. 32. That's very young for a heart attack. I mean, had his whole life ahead of him, was an American hero by definition, put his life on the line every day, came home and put his life on the line every day again. should strive to be better. You know how the lefties say, be better, you know, to conservatives or whatever. How about they should use that advice to minorities? Be better. You're right. Be fucking better. Stop playing the victim mentality card. It's invalid. It got denied. It doesn't get you anywhere. Playing the world's smallest violin doesn't get you anywhere. Because whenever I hear them complaining on TV, that's what I picture. I picture myself buying the world's smallest violin and playing it while they're fucking crying about their hardships, about how they're oppressed in the United States of America as a minority. No, you're fucking not. You're the opposite of oppressed. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to believe that black people have more privilege than white people, considering they get away with everything now because everybody's afraid to fire them or to call them out if there's any wrongdoing because they're scared shit of being called a racist. So Jussie Smollett, if it was the other way around, if a white guy, a white Trump supporter, pretended, made up a story where two black people beat him up, called him racial slurs, blah, 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 and they found out that it was false, he would have been fried. He would have been killed. I'm not saying Jussie Smollett should be killed. But the fact that he's not in fucking jail now, the fact that this is not fucking on the news cycle 24/7, just shows the fucking black privilege that there really is. White privilege is bullshit. There's American privilege. If you're an American, you are the most privileged human being on earth by a long shot. And you should really fucking appreciate that. And you should be kissing the fucking land that you stand on. You shouldn't be bashing this country. But here's the thing. You're free to bash the country. And that should be enough to say, you know what, as much problems I have with America, it's still the greatest country in the world because I could say what I want and I won't be fucking killed. You try bashing your country, bashing a different country, bashing the leader of another country. You're going to get killed. You'll be hung in the town square. You'll be hunted down by the fucking KGB. They'll drag you out right in front of your fucking mother, right in front of your kids, and they'll fucking shoot you right in front of your whole family. And they'll go right about their day. And that would be just for speaking out against the government. That does not happen in America. And we should all be very, very, very thankful that we're here. But for some reason, this new generation of libtards, they don't see it that way. They see it as America is an inherently racist, terrible place that should be completely changed. Everything about it is bad. Everything about it is racist, blah, 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 blah. Things got to change big time. And I hope they do. And I think they will. But we gotta get Trump in another, you know, for another 4 years. We have to. Because look at the options. Joe Biden, he doesn't even know what planet he's on. Bernie Sanders actually hates America and literally has said it himself. He wants to change this country 100%. And if you want to change this country the way he does, you hate this country and you don't like freedom. You know, that's really it. Who else? Bloomberg? That's pathetic. So, bottom line is, and this will be, you know, the end of the show, but we got to appreciate what we have in this country because no other country in the world is like us. And as for coronavirus, you guys got to stop being hysterical. It's not the end of the world. It won't be the end of the world. Just go about your day and take a little more precaution. That's all. There's no reason to act like this. Relax. Wash your fucking hands. Don't suck on doorknobs. And just enjoy life, because you'll be fine. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I might post a little episode tomorrow or Sunday, but if not, I hope you guys enjoy. Maybe it'll be some nice weather. And that's it. Duke out.